everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I have my co-host here, Brett. Welcome, Brett.
Hey, Damon, how you doing?
Good, and we have a very special guest today. We have Mama Dale DeGucci. Welcome to the podcast, Dale.
Hi, Damon and Brett.
So, Dale, we always get started with our new guests. What's God been highlighting to you recently?
I think for me, pretty much every day, because I always start my day with having quiet time and throughout the day. So he's been highlighting, no matter what I'm going through every day, no matter what comes up, it's just keep my eyes on him. Mm-hmm. So I think that really helps me focus, because a lot of times keep your eyes on all the wrong things, mm-hmm. too much. So it's like, just keep my eyes on him.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a good way to start your day, right? I think if you know where you're headed and what you're looking at, then it's easier to be able to keep along that straight path rather than having your eyes going everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that kind of leads us right easily into what we're going to be talking about today. So as we mentioned in our previous episode where we were talking about the vision for 2023, one of the things that we wanted to do with this year is to use the podcast as a forum, as a platform for our speakers to be able to expand on their messages. So Dale spoke this past Sunday, and she spoke, and really I was really blessed by her message, and she talked about Psalm 23 and about our good shepherd, and also about what it looks like for us to be a sheep. And so really we wanted to give this as an opportunity to expand. You know, at the beginning she had shared and read verses 1-6 of Psalm 23, and she only had time to share from verses 1 and 2 and insights that she got from reading verses 1 and 2. And so we thought that this would be a great opportunity for her to be able to expand and share for the rest of the verses from 3-6. So Dale, welcome. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for sharing with us a little bit more of what you had prepared.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Damon.
So I think one of the ways that we could get this started and get kicked off is actually reading it. So would you mind reading verses 1-6?
Yeah, no. Okay. So here's Psalm 23, verses 1-6. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I mean, I think we could end the podcast there and it would be good. Okay, so on Sunday, you had shared from verses 1 and 2, and I thought it was really cool too, because you had talked about a sheep and you shared a picture of this really cute looking sheep, and you shared that was actually one of your favorite animals. What is it about sheep that really you like?
I think I like sheep just in the sense, well, that sheep I liked just because it was cute, right? It looked like a cross between a dog and a sheep. And I've always kind of wanted to get a dog, but then I'm going to wait till I have more time to take care of it. So I think when I saw that sheep one day, man, I was like, I want that sheep. And I love sheep too, because God calls us sheep. Like when I mentioned, he calls us that 200 times in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to call me a sheep 200 times, I want to know what that means.
Yeah, so if you want to see what the sheep actually looks like, you'll have to check out our YouTube channel and check out the sermon from Sunday, because she showed a picture of the sheep. But really one of the reasons that I asked that question is because in today's society, you know, being a sheep is actually comes with very negative emotions, very negative connotations to it. But really, this verse is calling us to be sheep and following the good shepherd. You know, so I really am interested to see how you're able to expand on verses 3-6, because, you know, like I said, I was really blessed by your sermon on Sunday. So can you share with us a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. So it was a blessing to share about the sheep and why they can't rest, right? And another thing I was going to share, if I could go further in the verses, was this. So, verses 1-3 shares about what God's like. You know, he's good. He makes us lie down, gives us quiet waters. He gives us peace, refreshes our soul. Like all those verses 1 through 3 talks about God, you know, and in our lives, right? When things are going cool, things are going good, it's easy for us to talk about God, his goodness. He's good, good father. But then when you hit into verse 4 and 5, you know, the pronoun changes. It changes to I and you. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod, your staff. And it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint. So when we hit 4 and 5, it's like, you know, we're going through a trial. And then when we go through trials, we don't talk about God, we talk to God. So it's like when you hit the deepest trials and the deepest valleys, you know, that's when I'm like clinging to him. And that's when I'm like hugging his knee. And I'm not talking about God, I'm talking to God. So in those verses, it just comforts me. Like, man, we could talk about God, which is cool, but I love it when we talk to him. So even though, you know, I know people don't like valleys, it's hard, but that's when you get close to the shepherd, right?
Yeah, I like that you point out that subtle difference in the change. When we did a study over this verse too with our young adult group, it made me curious about sheep, just like you were saying. And as I dove into kind of learning about sheep and the relationship they have with their shepherd, you could really see why the verses that you just expanded on are so important, because the sheep are super dependent on the shepherd, right? And so when we're walking in the likeness, if we're the sheep and we're walking through those dark valleys, like you said, like, it's so important to be able to depend on the Lord, that you know that he has stuff to comfort you. He has stuff to protect you, because like you said, that shift when it becomes, I'm walking through this, it's easy to sometimes forget what we're looking at because we're looking at the dark valley, right? But knowing that the Lord is our shepherd and knowing that what he does for us, it's like, okay, no, I can rest and know that he's there to comfort me, to protect me, to fight for me, to be with me even in those valleys.
Yeah. I've never seen that change before, and I've probably read that verse hundreds of times, but I think really it also highlights kind of the shift in relationship, right? And it's like, we can know a lot about God, but that's not really going to change our life until we really know him and we have that relationship, right? And so it's easy when everything's going good to say, oh, God is good, God is good, God is good. But is that going to carry us during those hard times? Just knowing that God is good, is that going to really carry us? Is that going to really change our experience of the hard times? Or do we really need that deep relationship? So I really think that's cool that you're pointing that out, that we're recognizing that shift, that when we do go through those valleys, when we do go through those hard times, when we do go through those trials, it's not just going to be knowing that God is good or saying that God is good, but it's really going to be that trusting and believing and walking with and recognizing the ways that he's walking with us. And I think that's super cool.
Yeah, because when I look back on my Christian walk and my Christian life, the times that I was closest to him, that I felt his care and comfort, was when the times I was in the valleys. Mm-hmm. You know, when everything's going peachy keen, like I'm just living life, you know, enjoying it still and just doing, you know, random stuff every day. But it's kind of when I'm in those valleys, that's when I'm like clinging to him. And then when I look back and can share stories, that's when I give, you have the biggest testimony to share about his goodness is when you're in those valleys.
So I have a question that kind of, as you're sharing that, it kind of brought something to mind. Do you think that we can take that sense of closeness and kind of that desperation feeling for God into like the good times too? Like, or do we need the circumstances of the hard to be able to cling to God that closely? Like, what does it look like for us to be able to do that like all the time and not just when we need it? What do you think?
Yeah, so this is just my opinion. I think when life is peachy keen for me, I just tend to just go with the flow. Nothing is challenging me, right? Like you could just get stuck having fun. But it's when the Lord, because it says the shepherd takes them through the valley. They're not really going there themselves, right? He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, like, he's guiding us. Like, even in that Philip Keller book, Psalm 23, it's like the shepherd is taking the sheep in winter to the valleys, because mm-hmm. that's where the pasture is and that's where the water. So God's walking them through it. So, yeah, so like your question, Damon, for me personally, gosh, when I look back on my life, I think I've grown the closest to him mm-hmm. in the valleys. Like, God uses those valleys for those reasons. If my life was peachy keen my whole life, I don't think I'd get that closeness, because mm-hmm. There's no conflict. There's nothing challenging my faith.
Yeah, that actually brings up something that Pastor Barry had told me once, and I was going through a trial, and he said sometimes God allows trials, or, you know, he doesn't put bad stuff against us, or he doesn't, that's not from him, but he uses that because he knows, like, in that situation, it kind of puts you in this dilemma where, like, are you going to choose to rely on him, or are you going to choose to do something else, right? The lowest points are the points a lot of times where you're beyond yourself, mm-hmm. and it's like, I need, you're calling out for help, or you need something, you need your shepherd. And so I could totally relate to being in those low moments where, yeah, there's that desperation. And I wouldn't say that you can't have it in the good times. I think it's just a lot harder, right? I think in the good times, the reference point is more of like praise or experiencing the joy that God has, where when you're in the low, it's more of that dependency and kind of seeking after him to get out of that place. And so maybe you could still have that desperation. It just looks different.
Yeah. I'm just being curious, because I really feel like I can understand what that looks like in the deepest places, and in when it's hard and dark and it seems like it's hard to get out, and it's like, oh, I need God. But then it's like, does God want me to be in that place where I feel like I want to walk with him in that intimate place, all, like, even when things are going good, or is it only when things are going? So I'm asking for myself that, really, just mm-hmm. because I think that that's something that has been an area where I want to explore that personally. Like, I want to see, am I able to have that deep connection and intimacy with him when things are good too? Or do I just need it to be bad for that to happen and to feel close?
Yeah. And then piggybacking off of what you guys are saying, is like, we don't always want to feel that deep crisis. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think anybody always wants to be walking where, right? It's like, I'm always in the valley of the shadow of death.
I feel like God does it where it's balanced, mm-hmm. right? Like, verses 1-3, it's like, he's my shepherd. I lie down by the streams, the pasture. Like, I need a break. Mm-hmm. I want to have fun. I want, so I think it's just remembering to, there's just a balance. Mm-hmm. There's times where we get to rest and enjoy life and go to the beach and have fun with our friends. Like, we need that refreshment. But then there's also the balance of, you're going to go through a dark valley. So I think we need both to just experience life.
Yeah. I think too, even in those times where we're, you know, like you were sharing, enjoying life and things like that, it's like, I believe God's smiling down on us, and he wants that for us too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're far from him. It's like, no, he's enjoying that we're enjoying ourselves and that we're able to build these strong relationships with our friends and things like that too.
Well, it's a good thing then that the verse says you walk through the dark valley, and not like, even though I'm stuck in this dark valley, right? Because eventually God brings you through it. And so it may be a season, it may be for an amount of time, but that you're eventually going to get through it. Or else being stuck in it would not be a fun place of of desperation for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Would you like to continue? I know you have a few other points that you wanted to share.
Right. Yeah. So then verse 5, when it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So on this point, it's just that God invites all of us to a feast with him. You know, David, who wrote this psalm, is very poetic, right? He had a lot of enemies. King Saul hated his guts. Right? The Philistines were after him. His own son, Absalom, wanted to kill him. But God still prepares a table for us, right? A feast with us, even though there's enemies. And in ancient East, right, a host was obligated to protect the visitors from all enemies at all costs. Mm-hmm. We even see this in the Old Testament. Like, they'll treat an outside guest better than the family. So in this verse, it just really encouraged me that God's the host. Mm. He prepares a table for us. And if we have enemies, which we all do, like, at all costs, God's going to protect us. So that verse, in that sense, it just really encouraged me that the good shepherd is going to protect us at all costs. And then he's going to provide for us. He's going to give us a feast. And then because he's the host, like, it's kind of like if you have dinner at somebody's house, you know, they have this great dinner for you, but you're not going to start going in the fridge and taking everything out. Like, you're going to wait. So just this imagery of God preparing a table. He's our host, and okay, I'm going to sit at his table, and he's going to just provide me the best things that I need, and I don't have to worry about my enemies because he's going to, at all costs, protect me.
Yeah, that verse paints a really, and the way you expanded on it paints a really clear picture for me, almost like I could see it like a movie where you're sitting down and even in the midst, like you're saying, of the enemies, like the host that you have is you don't have to worry. And so there's, it may be even feel like a lot of tension, or it may feel like, okay, there's people across the table or people around me that I view as my enemy, but having that security and knowing that your host essentially has your back and is preparing the best for you, it's a really powerful picture, I feel like.
Yeah, as you were sharing it, it kind of reminded me, I think The Chosen does a really good job of this, where they have a bunch of people that probably should in their past lives have been enemies, or they were enemies, and they're all seated at the table together, and they have to work through their differences and talk about it through it, knowing that Jesus is there and just seeing the reconciliation, and really you recognize the differences in how they are, you know, at odds with each other, but with Jesus there's actually a reconciliation. And I think that's a beautiful picture for us too, is when we're seated at the table, we can share a meal, we can break bread together and recognize, hey, we are probably more alike than we are different. And can we overcome these differences to be reconciled together? Or are we going to hold on to our old life, our past, our hurts, are those, you know, those types of things to remain at odds? Or are we going to recognize the Good Shepherd has brought us together to reconcile and to be healed? And I think that's a beautiful picture.
Right. Yeah, like when you mentioned The Chosen, Damon, right, by Dallas Jenkins, where it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I always think of that time when Judas joined the discipleship group. Like, Jesus knew. He knows everything. He knows Judas. He knows what he's going to do. He knows he's going to end up betraying him. But yet, he invites him into this table, right? And so it's just a beautiful picture, like you said, like God is in control. He knows who's at your table. He knows why they're there. There's a purpose. And then in the end, he wins.
Yeah, that's why we're not God, because I can't imagine knowing someone that's going to betray me and then say like, oh, you should come, like genuinely saying like, come in, have a feast, sit with me. Like, I can't imagine that. So good thing God is who God is, and I am not, obviously.
Yeah. And I think in those times, it's kind of going back to the previous verses, knowing that situation, that's where we really need to cling to the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, I don't know what's going on in this situation. I can't see it, but you do. And so I need you I need to know that you're walking with me through this. I'm seated with my enemy right here. This guy's looking at me. We don't get along. There's something between us, but you've brought me here for a reason, and you're going to walk me through it. And so I want to trust in you, I want to trust in what you have for me, and I want to trust that what you have for me is good because you're the good shepherd. And so I really feel like that, kind of how you were expanding on it, Dale, is just really a beautiful picture of what it looks like to cling to the shepherd.
Right, yeah. And then verse 6, another thing that blessed me heading towards the end is it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, right? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that imagery of goodness and love. And some translations says goodness and mercy. But I love that that's following me. Mm. You know, sometimes in life you feel like something else is following you, like fear and anxiety or conflict. Or you feel every day you wake up, you feel other things following you. But when you know, because that goodness and love, I mean, that's Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus is in front of us and then he is behind us. So whenever I see that, surely goodness and love will follow me, no matter what we're going through today, each of us, Jesus is following us. So no matter what we're going through, we're good.
Yeah, verse 6 definitely wraps it up pretty nicely for us, that it ends with the promise that we can trust in God, right? I think, as you were sharing and we've been walking through it, it kind of starts with who God is and what he does for us as we walk through those places. And it continues with being seated with our enemies, and then it ends with continuing to look forward to what God is going to do and what he promises. And so definitely leaves us with a nice place rather than being stuck in those dark valleys or with our enemies. So,
yeah, and one thing I love about this passage is it kind of takes us on a journey of what it looks like to trust, right? So it goes from a head knowledge of God, you're so good, you're the good shepherd. Mm. But then as we walk through these valleys, we experience his goodness and his presence and his intimacy. And so that we can get to the place where we say, yes, we trust you. Right. And it's a different type of knowledge. That trusting knowledge is very different than kind of the head with, you know, knowing knowledge. It's a different type of experiential knowledge. And so I think it's a neat picture of kind of the journey that we have with Jesus. It's like we learn about him, but then as we go through life, we experience him and we're able to trust him more. And I think that's super cool. And kind of where it leaves us is how you wrapped it up. Knowing that goodness is following us. And I think that's a cool picture.
Right. And then, you know, for Psalm 23, like people that aren't even go to church, everybody knows this verse. Mm. People even use this in movies, right? Like Valley of the Shadow of Death. But it's just so neat because it really does cover all of life, right? Mm. Verse 1 starts with, the Lord is my shepherd. And it ends with, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it really covers all of life. Like if I had to explain life to somebody, I could choose Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. You start out in life, start to hit valleys, start to deal with enemies, but he gets you through. And at the very end, right, it's, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it just shows God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and he is the last. So that's why this psalm, anytime I go through something, I run to it. Like I mentioned when I spoke, I will read it 20 times a day because it just does that from start to finish. Hey, Alpha and Omega, he's there for me. Like, he's my shepherd. And man, in the end, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So no matter if I'm here, I'm not, I'm good.
Yeah, I, as you were sharing, I think one thing that comes to mind is, you know, the way that the world looks at life is the world tries to get rid of all the problems and tries to say, oh, that we should live a life that has no problems and everything should be easy for everyone. You should get what you want when you want it, the way you want it. But the way that this verse talks about is like, that's very unrealistic. No one lives a life like that. Really, what we need to do is recognize who our shepherd is and who's walking with us. And that will actually carry us through those times. So instead of changing our circumstances, it changes our experience of those circumstances because we're really able to experience the presence of the good shepherd who's walking with us and walking through us. And we can recognize the ways that he's using those trials, kind of like you were sharing, Brett, to shape our character, to shape us into who we were made to be. Instead of, you know, people who are just always looking for the easy way or getting what we want when we want it, but really recognizing God is shaping me into someone and he's walking with me on this journey to become who he made me to be. And yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, I actually haven't looked at it the way that both of you have shared about it, just kind of taking Psalm 23 and seeing it, how it can kind of be an example for life as a whole. And so, yeah, I really am taking to what both of you are sharing, and later today or the rest of this week, I'm going to go back to Psalm 23 and kind of sit with it and read it over again, because it's really powerful what you're saying, and I hope that the listeners can take something away to sit with and know that whether they're going through trials now, right, there's parts of this verse that will speak to them, whether they have to deal with other people, or maybe they just need to experience what the shepherd does for their sheep right now, and they just need to be able to rest. But the promise that, the goodness follows them is something that I know I've had a hard time with, and so it's something that I'm definitely going to sit with and spend time with God about.
So where do you think that kind of paradigm shift comes? Because I think there are a lot of people that feel like, oh, bad things just keep following me around, or difficult things just keep following me around. So where does that paradigm shift come to where at the, in verse 6, David is saying, no, goodness is following me around. I mean, I feel like that's a big 180 shift in paradigm. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that comes from?
So for me, I think it starts with that first question that you asked me, Damon, like, what is the Lord highlighting to me? And it's just knowing where to keep my eyes. Mm. And like, goodness is love's following me because I'm looking at Jesus. Mm. It where are you placing your eyes? And trust me, the world, the media wants us to look at our eyes at what we're seeing, our physical eyes. Mm. But right, we live in a spiritual, heavenly place. Mm. And if we want to live in this, surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and I will dwell. It's keep your eyes on the shepherd and on his presence. And it's going to be on things that we do not see.
Mm. No, that's really good. And I would piggyback off of that and saying, in from my own experience too, when you do walk through those valleys, or when you do have those moments where you're faced with tough times and the shepherd helps you get through it, it's remembering those moments too, right? It's easy to get distracted by the bad things and think, oh no, here comes another thing. But it's like, if you really look at the valley you just went through, like, that's a victory. God brought you through it. And so if you can keep that perspective, I think that might help with the shift a little bit too, of like, these little victories, these things that God has helped me walk through, they're all like little stepping stones in building your faith and having a deeper faith that, okay, if God pulled me through this, if he's walked me through this, if I'm able to do this, then what's going to stop me from this next thing? Or maybe you don't even think about the next thing as being bad because you know already that God is walking with you.
Yeah. I mean, I just have so many different thoughts running through my head right now. It's just like one of them is, good stories come with conflict, right? There's no good story that has no conflict in it, mm-hmm. right? And the highlight of a lot of good stories is just the conflict, but it's recognizing how the main character goes through the conflict, right? And how they overcome the conflict. And in this case, it's like when we keep our eyes on the Lord, really that's going to keep our eyes focused on the goodness and not on the circumstances, right? And that's going to be what helps us to walk through these trials and these difficult times. And really, it's painting this beautiful story of our life. And God wants us to have a beautiful story. So Dale, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing all these extra insights. I was really blessed with your sermon on Sunday, and this just made it even better. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing with us.
Oh yeah. I love being here with you, Damon and Brett. And let's just be sheep. We got the best shepherd.
I think that's a cool way to close it off. Let's be sheep.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and encourage you to subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify so that you don't miss any new content. You can also check out our sister podcast, Catalyst Stories, available on multiple platforms as well. We'd also love for you to check out our church. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach.